Page 480. "I trust you well enough," said Sir Lancelot, "and ye may get me, I get but little mercy. But as the French book saith, the noble King Arthur would have taken his queen again, and have been accorded with Sir Lancelot, but Sir Gawain would not suffer him by no manner of mean. And then Sir Gawain made many men to blow upon Sir Lancelot, and all at once they called him false recreant knight." Then when Sir Bors de Ganis, Sir Ector de Maris, and Sir Lionel heard this outcry, they called to them Sir Palamedes, Sir Safer's brother, and Sir Lavaine, with many more of their blood, and all they went unto Sir Lancelot and said thus, "My lord Sir Lancelot, wit ye well we have great scorn of the great rebukes that we heard Gawain say to you. Wherefore we pray you, and charge you, as ye will have our service, keep us no longer within these walls, for wit you well plainly we will ride into the field and do battle with them. For ye fare as a man that were afeard, and for all your fair speech it will not avail you. For wit you well Sir Gawain will not suffer you to be accorded with King Arthur, and therefore fight for your life and your right, an ye dare." "Alas," said Sir Lancelot, "for to ride out of this castle and to do battle I am full loath." Then Sir Lancelot spake on high unto Sir Arthur and Sir Gawain, "My lords, I require you and beseech you, sithen that I am thus required and conjured to ride into the field, that neither you, my lord King Arthur, nor you, Sir Gawain, come not into the field." "What shall we do then?" said Sir Gawain. "Is this the king's quarrel with thee to fight? And it is my quarrel to fight with thee, Sir Lancelot, because of the death of my brother Sir Gareth." "Then must I needs unto battle," said Sir Lancelot. "Now wit you well, my lord Arthur and Sir Gawain, ye will repent it whensomever I do battle with you." And so then they departed either from other, and then either party made them ready on the morn for to do battle. And great purveyance was made on both sides, and Sir Gawain let purvey many knights for to wait upon Sir Lancelot, for to overset him and to slay him. Page 481. And on the morn at Undern, Sir Arthur was ready in the field with three great hosts, and then Sir Lancelot's fellowship came out at three gates in full good array, and Sir Lionel came in the foremost battle, and Sir Lancelot came in the middle, and Sir Bors came out at the third gate. Thus they came in order and rule as full noble knights, and always Sir Lancelot charged all his knights in any ways to save King Arthur and Sir Gawain. Chapter 13. How Sir Gawain jousted and smote down Sir Lionel, and how Sir Lancelot horsed King Arthur. Then came forth Sir Gawain from the king's host, and he came before and proffered to joust. And Sir Lionel was a fierce knight, and lightly he encountered with Sir Gawain. And then Sir Gawain smote Sir Lionel throughout the body, that he dashed to the earth, like as he had been dead. And then Sir Ector de Maris and other more bare him into the castle. Then there began a great stour, and much people were slain, and ever Sir Lancelot did what he might to save the people on King Arthur's party, for Sir Palamedes and Sir Bors and Sir Safer overthrew many knights, for they were deadly knights. And Sir Blamor de Ganis and Sir Bleoberis de Ganis and Sir Belengaris de Blois, these six knights did much harm, and ever King Arthur was nigh about Sir Lancelot to have slain him, and Sir Lancelot suffered him and would not strike again. So Sir Bors encountered with King Arthur, and there with a spear Sir Bors smote him down. And so he alit, and drew his sword, and said to Sir Lancelot, "Shall I make an end of this war?" And that he meant to have slain King Arthur. Page 482. "Not so hardy," said Sir Lancelot, "upon pain of thy head, that thou touch him no more, for I will never see that most noble king that made me knight, neither slain nor shamed." And therewithal Sir Lancelot alit off his horse, and took up the king and horsed him again, and said thus, "My lord Arthur, for God's love stint this strife, for you get here no worship, and I would do mine utterance, but always I forbear ye, and ye nor none of yours forbeareth me. My lord, remember what I have done in many places, and now I am evil rewarded." Then when King Arthur was on horseback, he looked upon Sir Lancelot, and then the tears brast out of his eye, and thinking on the great courtesy that was in Sir Lancelot more than in any other man. And therewith the king rode his way, and might no longer behold him, and said, "Alas, that ever this war began!" And then either parties of the battles withdrew them to repose them, and buried the dead, and to the wounded men they laid soft salves, and thus they endured that night till on the morn. And on the morn by Undern they made them ready to do battle. And then Sir Bors led the forward. So upon the morn there came Sir Gawain as brim as any boar.
Brim means fierce.
With a great spear in his hand. And when Sir Bors saw him, he thought to revenge his brother Sir Lionel of the despite that Sir Gawain did him the other day. And so They that knew either other footered their spears, and with all their mights of their horses and themselves they met together so feloniously that either bare other through, and so they both fell to the earth. And then the battles joined, and there was much slaughter on both parties. Then Sir Lancelot rescued Sir Bors and sent him into the castle. But neither Sir Gawain nor Sir Bors died not of their wounds, for they were all holpen. Then Sir Lavaine and Sir Urre prayed Sir Lancelot to do his pain and fight as they had done. "For we shall ye forbear and spare, and that doth much harm. Therefore we pray you, spare not your enemies, no more than they do you." Page 483. "Alas," said Sir Lancelot, "I have no heart to fight against my lord Arthur, for ever meseemeth I do not as I ought to do." "My lord," said Sir Palamedes, "though ye spare them all this day, they will never can you thank."
"Express thanks."
"And if they may get you at a vale, ye are but dead." So then Sir Lancelot understood that they said him truth, and then he strained himself more than he did aforehand, and because his nephew Sir Bors was sore wounded. And then within a little while, by evensong time, Sir Lancelot and his party better stood, for their horses went in blood past the fetlocks, there was so much people slain. And then for pity Sir Lancelot withheld his knights, and suffered King Arthur's party for to withdraw them aside. And then Sir Lancelot's party withdrew them into his castle, and either parties buried the dead, and put salve unto the wounded men. So when Sir Gawain was hurt, they on King Arthur's party were not so orgulous as they were to forehand to do battle. Of this war was noised throughout all Christendom, and at the last it was noised afore the Pope, and he, considering the great goodness of King Arthur and of Sir Lancelot, that was called the most noblest knights of the world, wherefore the Pope called unto him a noble clerk that at that time was there present, the French book saith it was the Bishop of Rochester, and the Pope gave him bulls under lead unto King Arthur of England, charging him upon pain of interdicting of all England that he take his queen, Dame Guinevere, unto him again, and accord with Sir Lancelot. Page 484. Chapter 14. How the Pope sent his bulls to make peace, and how Sir Lancelot brought the queen to King Arthur. So when this bishop was come to Carlisle, he showed the king these bulls, and when the king understood these bulls, he nist what to do. Full fain he would have been accorded with Sir Lancelot, but Sir Gawain would not suffer him. But as for to have the queen, thereto he agreed. But in no wise Sir Gawain would not suffer the king to accord with Sir Lancelot, but as for the queen he consented. And when the bishop had of the king his great seal, and his assurance, as he was a true anointed knight, a true anointed king, that Sir Lancelot should come safe, and go safe, and that the queen should not be spoken unto of the king, nor of none other, for no thing done aforetime past, and of all these appointments the bishop brought with him sure assurance in writing to show Lord Sir Lancelot. So when the bishop was come to Joyous Gard, there he showed Sir Lancelot how the Pope had written to Arthur and unto him, and there he told him the perils if he withheld the queen from the king. "It was never in my thought," said Lancelot, "to withhold the queen from my lord Arthur, but insomuch she should have been dead for my sake, meseemeth it was my part to save her life, and put her from that danger, till better recover might come. And now I thank God," said Sir Lancelot, "that the Pope hath made her peace. For God knoweth," said Sir Lancelot, "I would be a thousandfold more gladder to bring her again than ever I was of her taking away. And with this I may be sure to come safe and go safe, and that the queen shall have her liberty as she had before, and never for no thing that hath been surmised afore this time, she never from this day stand in no peril. For else," said Sir Lancelot, "I dare adventure me to keep her from an harder shower than ever I kept her." "It shall not need you," said the bishop, "to dread so much, for wit you well, the Pope must be obeyed, and if it were not the Pope's worship, nor my poor honesty, to wit you distressed, neither the queen, neither in peril, nor shamed." Page 485. And then he showed Sir Lancelot all his writing, both from the Pope and from King Arthur. "This is sure enough," said Sir Lancelot, "for full well I dare trust my lord's own writing and his seal, for he was never shamed of his promise. Therefore," said Sir Lancelot unto the bishop, "ye shall ride unto the king afore, and recommend me unto his good grace, and let him have knowledging that this same day, 8 days, by the grace of God, I myself shall bring my lady, Queen Guinevere, unto him. And then say ye unto my most redoubted king, that I will say largely for the queen, that I shall none accept for dread nor fear, but the king himself, and my lord Sir Gawain, and that is more for the king's love than for himself." So the bishop departed and came to the king at Carlisle and told him all how Lancelot answered him, and then the tears brast out of the king's eyen. Then Sir Lancelot purveyed him 100 knights, and all were clothed in green velvet, and their horses trapped to their heels, and every knight held a branch of olive in his hand in tokening of peace. And the queen had 24 gentlewomen following her in the same wise, and Sir Lancelot had 12 coursers following him. And on every courser sat a young gentleman, and all they were arrayed in green velvet, with sarps,
chains
of gold about their quarters, and the horse trapped in the same wise down to the heels, with many ouches,
clasps,
set with stones and pearls in gold, to the number of 1,000. And she and Sir Lancelot were clothed in white cloth of gold tissue, and right so, as ye have heard, as the French book maketh mention, he rode with the queen from Joyous Gard to Carlisle. And so Sir Lancelot rode throughout Carlisle, and so in the castle that all men might behold, and wit you well there was many weepen eyen. And then Sir Lancelot himself alit and avoided his horse, and took the queen, and so led her where King Arthur was in his seat, and Sir Gawain sat afore him, and many other great lords.